afternoon, and welcome to another episode of We the People Radio. We're on an experimental voyage today, so thanks for coming with us. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And my name is Bill Cundiff.
Sure.
And, wow, my mic sounds really loud.
Yeah, you do. You sound like Gulliver.
Well, I'm in charge.
You go, Gulliver.
I'm in charge.
Who's our sponsor this hour?
Hey, our sponsor this hour is Pape Machinery. Pape Machinery is our local John Deere Ag and Turf dealer. They're located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard in Shasta Lake City. They handle everything turf, everything ag. I mean, if you want a tractor, you want a mower, you want attachments for your tractors, you want service, they do it all over there. Go over and see them. You can reach them on the phone at 226-9226 or get them on the web at papemachinery.com. They're also a Honda dealer. They have all the Honda products, the generators, mowers. If it's Honda, they've got it. Go by and see them, and they're soon to be the new steel dealer in town. So keep your ears open for that. We'll be announcing it as soon as the product hits the floor.
Where are you going to put all that stuff?
Oh, man, we're just going to have it everywhere. You're going to be tripping over it when you walk in the door.
You'll have to buy something just to get out of the building.
That's right. You're going to have to buy your way out.
Yeah, bring a truck. Don't bring your Prius. You won't have room.
No, you'll have room.
So our experimental voyage today involves television. And so if you're listening on the local radio station, you're like, okay, that's kind of weird. We have always been on KCNR here locally in Redding.
I thought you were going to say we've always had a face for radio.
Yeah, well, that too.
That too.
Full disclosure. I guess it's about time we got down to full disclosure.
Yeah, come on.
So we've always been live on the air that way. Then our friend Robert Exter, he has always taken out the celebrations of capitalism, a.k.a. commercials, and made it commercial-free. So then you could listen to an MP3 file off of our website at wethepeopleradio.us. And so that's always available for you any old time. It goes back to, like, 2009. So we've got archives forever. And now our friend Rick Trader, that used to air our show out of Philadelphia, New Jersey, he has, I guess he is maybe the American Uncensored News Network. So AUN television. And they are all over the place. I'm not going to read you all the things, but I'll put it on the web and direct you to his site. So San Francisco, San Rafael, San Jose, the wine country.
I thought you weren't going to read it.
No, I wasn't going to read you all the secret numbers, all the secret channels.
All right.
I was like, oh, wow, this is a lot. Redding, Chico, Sacramento, Monterey, and in the future, they'll be in Reno, Carson City, Tahoe, all that area. So,
what about Ukraine?
The Ukrainians are always 12% of our listenership.
That's
online,
right.
by the way.
They love us over there.
Yeah, big shout out to the Ukrainians.
I'm taking Ukrainian.
They've been solid listeners,
language.
Even when they weren't famous, you know, in our.
That's right.
You know, yeah. Congress and
we're
all
cutting
that.
Edge.
And we're going to spare you from talking about that. This will be your one break. Your one break of the week. You won't have to listen about the impeachment. So if you're listening live today is January 26, 2020. Sometimes we air programs later. So this topic, however, I'm hoping we won't have to ever air this topic again, but I doubt that that's even possible. It has been going on for quite a while, and our guest today will give us the whole lowdown. We have covered this a little bit. We're talking about China today. So there's a tab at the top of the website at wethepeopleradio.us. If you go there, click on China, you'll see all the different shows we've done on China. And we have spoken, I believe, Dr. Chen, number one. We have a lot of Dr. Chens.
Mm-hmm.
Friends named Dr. Chen. I believe that it was maybe the second one who spoke with us about this. And hear a little bit about it. If you're not getting the Epoch Times, E-P-O-C-H Times newspaper or online publication, you're really missing out. They do an excellent job of covering things like this. You can we have links to them as well. They are theepochtimes.com. If you could just go to Epoch Times, it comes up in Chinese, which is kind of limiting unless you're Chinese.
Why? You don't read Chinese?
I typed it in and I was like, uh-oh. That was a dollar not well spent. I can't read it. But they have a really good online newspaper that they will email you, and they actually send you a hard copy paper once a week. And if you're smart, you will send your hard copy newspaper to somebody who loves newspapers, but maybe doesn't get factual news, like my mom. And you'll have that hard copy directed to them because, honestly, the stories are well written, the topics are well covered, and they are not being covered in the mainstream media. So it's my plug for the Epoch Times. Our guest today is Mitchell Nicholas Gerber. He's a veteran activist, easy for me to say, who's dedicated his life for the last 16 years to exposing the forced organ harvesting of the Falun Gong spiritual movement in China. With a resilient character and determined mind, he's been working hard on the front line of a significant cause, which has been coined a new form of evil. Isn't it amazing? We keep coming up with new forms of evil. It's hard to believe. You'd think we'd get smarter as we get farther along the trail, but apparently not. He's been traveling the world in a crucial attempt to raise awareness about the forced organ harvesting of the Falun Gong in China, where hundreds of thousands of innocent practitioners have been rounded up, sent to over 800 state-mandated hospitals, their organs cut out of their bodies while they're alive. The organs are then sold for massive amounts of profit, and then bodies are burned in crematoriums to consume the evidence. And one thing I learned from our show before, we said, well, gosh, you know, if they're doing this much organ transplant over there, they must be really good at it. They said, actually, they're not really good at it. And it kind of made sense, actually, once we thought about it. I mean, why would you don't have to get good at it. You can just go kill somebody else.
Right. And the not-so-good thing is if you do have a problem with it and it fails, you can they guarantee their work. They'll give you another one.
Yeah, like so, in 5 minutes because they have somebody waiting in the wings. So anyway. Horrible. And so I know you've sent us a list of, you know, kind of like a little roadmap, Mitchell, but we can start wherever you would like.
Well, Aaron and Bill, I'm just very honored to be on your show. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for tuning in. And because many of the mainstream media outlets, especially on the left, the NBCs of the world, the ABCs of the world, CBS, have bowed to the Chinese government's concealment of this. And I'm just grateful to be on your show to share a little bit of the insights. We won't have much time to go into full detail as the other investigators have done all over the world, to the United Nations, to the governing bodies, to other news agencies around the world. But just to share a little insight about the spiritual movement that has been so brutally targeted by the Chinese communist regime, and share a little insight about how this new form of evil could even exist in this time of peril that we are in now, with the virus from China threatening global pandemic rates that we've never seen before, war, and just a total exposure of this new form of evil. So I'm just very glad to be on your show, and thank you again.
Well, we're happy to cover it. We like to cover things that, you know, the mainstream media has a habit of covering everything in a soundbite, sensationalizing it. And, you know, I guess if we were on mainstream media, we would try to tell the whole story. But we're not the experts, so we've exhausted our knowledge now, and now it's all up to you. How about maybe we take a really quick break at this point, and we can play our good friend Carly Simon.
What shall we do about them? When they move into your neighborhood, they take over. But they want you all body and soul. Then it's just your body. Then they go. What shall we do about them?
This is always the part where the commercial starts, so I've got to rethink it. All right, we are back. Mitchell, go ahead and start wherever you'd like, and I've got your audio hopefully queued up and in the correct spot for you.
Wonderful. Can you hear me? Am I coming in loud and clear?
You could be louder.
Can I be louder? How about that?
That actually sounds pretty good.
Sue, wonderful. We're going with head fakes from Sue in the other room. We have a double pane glass, which is really not all that conducive to conversation. we have to do hand signals. Is that good? Bad? Okay. All right. Moving forward.
So you can pick it up right where you left off there. You're coming in loud and clear.
Okay, absolutely. Okay. So, yes, thank you, everybody, for listening in and allowing me this precious time. I know people's times are valuable, so I will make this precise and short and as sweet as possible. What we are facing is a new form of evil, and to understand how organ harvesting, forced organ harvesting, Aaron and Bill, could happen in China, it is crucial to understand that there is no limit to how far the Chinese Communist Party, the CCP, which controls China, the Chinese government, and the Chinese people for the last 50 years, has wiped out 5,000 years of Chinese culture, decimated up to about 50, between 60 and 100 million people, more than two world wars combined, murdered, destroyed, left in ruin. And there is no limit, like I said, how far the Chinese Communist Party will go to wipe out something or someone. And when the persecution of Falun Gong, which is the spiritual movement, it's very similar to Chinese yoga, deeply rooted in ancient modalities like Tai Chi and martial arts. Falun Gong became the largest spiritual movement in China between 1992 and 1998, with a following of over 100 million people. Government estimates by 1998 shared that there was between 80 to 100 million people of all walks of life and all classes practicing these slow-moving traditional exercises, five incorporated into the practice, and based on a philosophy that is rooted universally on truthfulness and compassion and tolerance. And this just became the life force of China, this one particular spiritual movement. And when this became the largest movement in China, the persecution started in July 1999 because the Chinese regime called Falun Gong the biggest threat to national security since Tiananmen Square 10 years before. And today they are even more terrified than ever. And the official Communist Party documents that were recently issued in that time stated that the competition against Falun Gong is the principal means of competition for the hearts and minds of the masses. And what is important to note that Jiang Zemin, not many people are familiar with Jiang Zemin. A lot of people know about President Xi, who became a complete dictator, Hu Jintao, who was a former prime minister of China. But not many people are familiar with Jiang Zemin, the leader of the Chinese Communist Party in 1999, when the persecution against the Falun Gong began. He was seeking a way to consolidate his own power while also eliminating the largest movement of thought in recent Chinese history. So to achieve his goals, he knew he needed to do one thing, more than anything, hate, to spread a weaponized, demonic propaganda machine worth at least, based on the former Secretary of State's account, of about $1 billion a year, one quarter of China's gross domestic profit, to demonize Falun Gong and eradicate them and then send them to death camps through the eradication process to cut out their organs while alive. And the key to carrying out this persecution has been to instill the hatred in the masses toward Falun Gong. So with the largest propaganda machine and network in the world, the largest military, the largest economy in the world, Jiang Zemin, the former prime minister, launched the campaign of villainous lies and slander targeting Falun Gong practitioners, their beliefs, and their bodies, sending hundreds and thousands, once the persecution racked up and really commenced into its years, mandated that hundreds and thousands of Falun Gong practitioners be sent in steel sealed containers under the watchful eye of the Chinese military to state-mandated hospitals, turning the doctors into murderers, basically cutting out the organs while alive, with very little anesthesia, just to sedate the people, the practitioners, so they won't escape, and four people don't have to hold them down, then start extracting while they're alive the organs, the pancreas, the kidneys, the livers, the heart, the eyes, the skin, to sell on the black market as well as on the open market for millions and millions of dollars, and then burn the bodies in the crematories of the ovens and ovens of the hospitals, as well as embalming the bodies bodies, hundreds of bodies, and selling them off to the body exhibitions that have been touring the world, a $60 million business by the German fellow Van Gogh. This is where we're at right now.
Yeah, I remember one of those exhibitions was in New York here a couple of years ago.
For those of us who maybe missed that, what exactly is that?
It's the one where the cadavers are doing all sorts of, they're displayed in all sorts of kinds of movements, and you'll see the actual organs in display cases. It's a very creepy exhibition, but they've made millions of it. The cadavers that have been stripped completely naked, basically, and have been placed in all different kinds of ways, playing tennis, having sexual intercourse. This is very disturbing, playing different kinds of sports and interacting as if they were alive. And we have found out, based on the investigations, that these are actual Falun Gong and Uyghur Muslim bodies, as well as house Christians as well. Oh. So it's very disturbing.
Well, wow. I mean, I hate to be naive, but what is the point of that? Just to be sensational?
Exactly, and to make a lot of money, yes. Mm-hmm.
I guess it was here. Sue just sent me a note. It was here in Reading a couple of years ago. Happy I missed that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Is there any way that you could play some of the first soundbite? Because I think the soundbites are extremely telling from the investigators.
Okay, so the first one we're listening to is going to be about what? Do you need setup for that?
It was David Kilgore and David Mattis on the BBC explaining when this first came out, BBC Radio. So I think that was quite a telling interview. And I've cut it just to make sure that it's not too long.
Okay. Well, we're going to venture out on the water again. Darn it, we were on land. We had it all figured out, but okay, let's try it. Here we go. Pushing play.
We talk a rather upsetting issue, allegations that have repeatedly been aired, that China plays a part in harvesting organs, mainly of executed prisoners. The numbers run to thousands every year. The organs then get sold on for transplants. It's always been vehemently denied by the Chinese government. But here in Britain, representatives of a campaign called Forced Organ Harvesting have been looking at the issue, and they've gone as far as presenting their latest findings to the British Parliament. Two representatives join us here in the studio. Welcome to David Kilgore, former member of the Canadian Parliament, and Ethan Gutman, author of several books on China, who've both been involved in the investigations, are here to tell us a little bit more. David Kilgore, if I could start with you, what are the latest findings of your investigation? What are you closing in on?
About 65,000 Falun Gong practitioners have been killed and their organs trafficked. There are other people, too. Convicted prisoners are killed, of course. But the thing that we're focusing on is the Falun Gong community. My colleague, Ethan Gutman, has done a lot of work on the Uyghur community. He'll probably want to say something about that. But, yeah, there's no doubt. We have 52 kinds of evidence that this is happening. To give you the easiest example, the wife of a surgeon told us that her husband had removed the corneas from 2,000 Falun Gong practitioners in a two-year period. So, I mean, there's absolutely no doubt in anybody's mind. We've got two books on it. We've got all kinds of...
And these, just to clarify, these come after judicial executions?
No, there is no judicial involvement in virtually all of the Falun Gong. That's the thing that nobody understands.
Okay, right. So we better clarify this, because we often cover the fact that China, of course, has one of the highest rates of execution, judicial execution. It's their choice. That's what they do. And they're always there in the top three, along with Saudi Arabia and Iran. But this is something different.
Exactly. It's because a police signature is all you need to get sent to a forced labor camp. And then basically what happens is somebody from, it could be London, it could be Canada, goes over there for a liver. And there's a computer bank, and it says there's a match for you out in camp number 50. And somebody's dragged out of camp number 50 into an operating room, their liver's taken out of them, it's flown to Shanghai where you're probably waiting for your liver, and you come back to London with a new liver, and somebody has been killed like a lobster in a grotesque restaurant.
Hang on a minute, so you're not even saying, because, I mean, it's one issue, the judicial executions and the use of the cadaver, which I suppose in a certain legal sense is the property of the state once the state has killed the individual, but you're saying these are people being killed to order?
Precisely, and it's so, as you say, your horror shows how distressing it is. But yet it never gets mentioned that these are people who've been maybe giving out pamphlets asking them to stop killing Falun Gong, and they're guilty of nothing.
Ethan Goodman, also here. Can we step back just a moment before we talk a little more about this? I want to find out, there is a shortage of organs because people don't donate them. Is that why? What are the cultural reasons why there is this kind of shortfall that fuels this market that you allege you have evidence for?
Well, there is a cultural shortfall, but that's in part because the Chinese government has never really promoted it. They didn't have to. They have this massive supply, possibly, you know, up to 3 million prisoners out there. You know, of those prisoners, perhaps 25-30% are prisoners of conscience. Some people who aren't even in the system, never even registered into it. They just kind of they've disappeared. These are people who often even don't give their names to protect their families or their locations. These people are prime candidates for organ harvesting.
Now, the allegation is, I mean, it's left me open-jawed, what you've just said. I have to ask you more precisely, what evidence do you have? Who have you spoken to, for example, who is actually involved in this trade that you allege is there?
Start in the beginning. In 1995, there's a man in this city, Enver Toti, who you can interview yourself. I suggest you bring him on the program. He performed a live organ harvesting of a prisoner who'd been shot in the left side of the chest in a non-lethal way. And he removed the kidneys and liver from this man. So you can start with that,
okay,
that acknowledgement, and then you can go to the massive evidence of prisoners, particularly Falun Gong, who were examined in Laogai and under extremely primitive conditions, and they're being tortured, and they're not being fed, and so on. But then they're taken to a modern hospital, just the Falun Gong. And there, they look carefully at their corneas, not their eyesight, just their corneas.
So in effect, these you allege that these prisoners are being catalogued for what might be saleable or useful as a body part.
No, I think we're alleging that they've been harvested at a scale of possibly, you know, 10 to 15% of these prisoners of conscience.
Okay. How does the market operate? Who controls it, therefore?
I think there we've got a lot. I think there's where the work needs to be done, is how is this market operated? As I understand it, there was a doctor, a surgeon in Taiwan, who was well aware of this because he used to argue for the Chinese price for his patients. And they said, well, you know what, we really love you, the other doctor said. So we're going to give you the Chinese price. Not only that, we're giving you all Falun Gong. These people don't smoke, they don't drink, they don't have hepatitis. And I asked him that question, well, how's this done? He said through sort of an informal eBay system in China.
Right, so if there's an informal system, this also means that ultimately the Chinese government can deny any involvement in it, which they always have done. Yeah, they've said that they've been made aware of some of these problems and they have taken action to systematically root this out. That's what they've always said.
But there's one problem.
Briefly?
Yes. The six high-ranking officials checked into an Urumqi hospital in 1997, and they were waiting for organs. A young doctor was told to go into the prisoner, political prisoner wing of the Uyghur prison. Uyghur. And there he had to examine the blood of all the political prisoners for these six high-ranking officials. China's a surveillance state.
It's going on now, though. You're saying that's an example from 1997. We're now in 2013.
But this is a surveillance state, and who gets watched? The medical hospitals, the military, the party members.
Well, many thanks indeed. We'll have to leave it there. We could talk more. Ethan Goodman and David Kilgore, many, many thanks indeed for coming in from the Forced Organ Harvesting Campaign.
You just three letters. Wow. I will post these clips of yours on the website for today so that people, you know, if they'd like to send them to people and they don't want to listen to the whole program or whatever, they can at least send these clips because that was a lot of information in a very short period of time. We need to take a really quick break. We're going to come back with our guest and continue to cover this topic because, honestly, it's depressing, I guess you might say, but the only thing more depressing than forced organ harvesting happening in China is the fact that people aren't paying attention. And if nobody went there to have a transplant, they wouldn't really have much business. So anyway, we'll do our part to get the word out. Our guest today is Mitchell Nicholas Gerber. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
shall jump in that paddle wheel pumping. Black water keep rolling on fast, just the same.
Oh, black water keep on rolling.
Mississippi, who won't you keep on?
So, well, we were on the break. We were just kind of talking about how this whole thing, Mitchell, takes surveillance to a whole new level. I mean, when people get home at night in China, they got to feel like they actually accomplished something getting through their day.
They survived. Yeah, it's amazing to me that you get arrested. You get basically blood typed and inspected for all your potential organs, and then they catalog you.
And makes you want to start drinking heavily.
Yeah.
Or taking up other bad habits.
Yeah. It just, wow. And then you end up in a book of potential donors.
Yeah, literally on the menu.
Yeah.
So, you know what, Mitchell, I'm curious. How did you get involved in this?
Very, very good question. Thank you, Aaron. Well, first of all, just to add on to the surveillance state of China, I live in communist Vietnam. I actually am doing intel with the Vietnamese who practice the Falun Gong there. And the Epoch Times that you mentioned, we have a branch called the Eastern Wind in Vietnam that gathers the intelligence and helps the New York Epoch Times, which is growing exponentially each and every day. I mean,
they're amazing. Yeah. They just cover everything.
Yes, phenomenal newspaper and conservative newspaper. And when I was in Vietnam, the Chinese Communist regime bribed the Vietnamese Communist Party with land deals, investments, and huge monetary bribes to come after us and stop us. And when I was in the States last year, as I am in the States right now, celebrating Christmas and New Year, I got a conference call, that we are shutting down based on security reasons and because the communist regime is out to get us, because we were doing so well and we were gaining such support and garnering such viral support from our channel on Facebook and other places on social media, that we had to shut down our offices and go into hiding. So I had to come back to the States, and then I went back to Vietnam. So I'm going back into Vietnam in 2 days to help more. But yes, how I got involved, Aaron, was I was studying international business at the University of Georgia in 2001. I even remember the exact date, May 4th. 2001. May the force be with you. Right? May 4th, 2001. And a true Jedi legacy, as you can say. I mean, goodness, when I appeared at this, I guess it was a human rights or a cultured fair in the famous Athens, Georgia, the town of Athens in Georgia, at the University of Georgia, I came across the Falun Gong practicing these exercises, and I was always a martial arts enthusiast. I loved yoga. I liked working out. And I was captured by the profound healing benefits and psychological and physiological benefits of these exercises that I've never heard of since coming into contact with them at the university. So I delved deeper. I read the books. I learned the exercises. Coming from a Judeo-Christian family. And then what really gripped my heart was this brutal persecution of the Falun Gong, 100 million people. So immediately, you know, in life, when something grips you and ignites your passion so deeply that you really can't explain the feeling, this is what occurred when I was 21. And for the last at least 20 years now of my life, goodness, it's been 20 years already. My God, I'm 40, 21. I just had my birthday, 40 in January. It's never occurred to me the stopping of my willpower and my forging ahead to expose this. Even today, I've been on many talk shows. I've done a lot of work around the world, but still going on, still being covered up. And not many people are aware of this new form of evil. They've heard about the Uyghur Muslims, but they haven't heard about the Falun Gong. So so long ago, at least 20 years ago, I took it upon as a crusade, a literal crusade, all on my own, where my family, my friends, society didn't even know anything about this and was encouraging me not to go forward based on the threats that I was receiving.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
That was my next question. Where are you on the list?
Oh, I'm pretty high on the list, and I love being high on the list. It shows me that I'm doing the right work. You know, when the communist regime sends spies to break into your home, break into your car, break into your computer, send death threats, and you have to sit down with the Federal Bureau of Investigation, the CIA, and different places around the world. You know, you have to, you know, you go into intelligence briefings, and then you go into London, and you sit down with the courts in London. It just shows you. The work that you're doing is breaking the back of the communist regime, making them very scared, and that's what they're doing now. They're on the run.
So you think
they're on the run?
So you think? I mean, it sounds like Vietnam is involved. I mean, at least complicit. Do you think other countries, you know, satellite nations from the Chinese are involved as well, or are they keeping this pretty close to the vest?
Absolutely, they are. Many are involved. Only four countries have stopped forced organ harvesting, have actually banned any organ tourism coming out of China after learning about the Falun Gong genocide, which is, the first one was Israel. Believe it or not, many people. Because many people think that organ harvesting exists in Israel. It does not. There was a couple of rabbis in upstate New York. They were caught, and I know ISIS was also very much into on a smaller scale, killing innocent people of towns that they were taking over and enforced organ harvesting. But there is no other government in the world, unlike the Chinese regime, that is killing on a large scale. On a specified date, millions and millions of their citizens for massive amounts of profits. But Israel was one. Then we have Taiwan, and we have Spain, and hopefully and Italy, and hopefully more will come. But think about this. Only four countries out of how many 200 countries in the world have actually forced, put into laws on their books to stop this? Only four. So this, because there's so much money involved, I mean, a multi-billion dollar operation started by the communist regime. And once this started, I mean, the organ tourism skyrocketed in the United States by 30-40%. Canada, from South Korea, Pakistan, other Southeast Asian countries. And so when you are getting organs on a specified date, when before you were receiving organs 4 or 5 year waiting
yeah, sure.
for a heart or kidney, you are the money is amazing.
There's no way they can, you know. Yeah, we'll I'm going to have my vacation in March. Can I come over and get a kidney? Oh yeah, we'll have one ready for you. That's got to be a red flag. How many? Do you have numbers on how many people from the United States actually go to China for transplants?
We don't have the exact numbers. I do believe that there are. It is staggering because to have a specified date to prepare organs,
right.
People do come straight from. Like I said, the organ tourism skyrocketed between 30-40%. And Ethan Gutman was talking about the Laogao system. Laogao, translated into English, is the labor camp system. So this is a strategic final solution campaign operating and established and founded by Jiang Zemin and his gang of scoundrels and the Reign of Terror, which is the communist regime. So when they initiated this Final Solution campaign, they created massive hospitals. They've created a massive labor camp system to detain and send hundreds and thousands, if not millions, of Falun Gong practitioners. Because when you have 100 million people, they actually created data banks.
Sure.
They've done this to the Uyghur Muslims. That's why you have 1 million to 2 million in concentration camps right now, as that's been coming out on the mainstream, but not the Falun Gong. Not many have heard about the Falun Gong. Fox did a great report online on their online database. Many friends sent me the video and say, "Hey, Mitch, take a look at this. It's coming on the mainstream." But not many mainstream channels have actually exposed this. The BBC has had Ethan Gutman and David Kilgore on to talk about the numbers. Their books are really, really profound and really good. If anyone would like to know about this before I leave the broadcast with you, I can share the books with them. But what I find very interesting, Bill, is that this year a number of developments are swiftly raising awareness of this issue and sounding alarms. And the foremost among these is the independent tribunal into forced organ harvesting of prisoners of conscience, namely Falun Gong in China. And it was chaired by the eminent British barrister and professor Sir Geoffrey Nice QC. Now, Nice was the prosecutor of Slobodan Milosevic at The Hague and subsequently worked on cases before the Permanent International Criminal Court. And these tribunal consists of a group of experts from a variety of fields who evaluated the evidence of organ harvesting, which is extremely hard to believe. I mean, people can't believe it. They cannot fathom, oh, you know, that issue. Oh, is that really going on? Is that going on? This is what I've been told by the investigators who I sat down with at the International Tribunal of Natural Justice, which is a child trafficking court in London at Westminster Abbey. And after first reading evidence for about 9 months before holding 3 days of hearings in London on December 2018, the tribunal issued an interim judgment that stated the tribunal's members are all certain, unanimously, and sure beyond reasonable doubt that in China, forced organ harvesting from Falun Gong practitioners has been practiced for a substantial period of time involving a very substantial number of victims. And they go into more about this. And at endtransplantabuse.org, people can download the books, they can read the transcript for free, and it's quite telling. It's really amazing that these are the acts alleged are equivalent to any of the major crimes against humanity of the 20th century, if not in scale, then certainly in severity.
And it has no end in sight. The potential is, I think.
Well, if there's no pressure to stop it, they're going to just continue.
Yeah, what makes it end? We have to take a really quick break. We're going to come back with our guest. We are discussing the forced organ harvesting practices in China, and this isn't something that only affects the Chinese. It affects everybody, because when that happens in one place, you have to be sure it's going to come for somebody else. You can find all the information about the program at wethepeopleradio.us.
Once I rose above the noise and confusion, just to get a glimpse beyond this illusion. I was soaring ever higher, but I flew too high. Though my eyes could see, I still was a blind man. Though my mind could think, I still was a madman. I hear the voices when I'm dreaming. I can hear.
I know the answer for me is don't go to China.
Yeah.
It'd be so scary.
Yeah.
I mean, Mitchell, do you ever go to China? I know you said you're in Vietnam, but do you ever go to China?
I'm blacklisted. I cannot go to China.
Oh.
After Chinese spies came to me and I went to the FBI. No, I'm not allowed to go. But I was wondering.
I was going to say that'd be a bad choice for you. But,
yeah, I wish I could, and if I had to, I would. I'm a warrior of that. I love to put. I'm a do or die warrior. I love to put my life on the line to protect others. That's a great honor to me. But anyway, that's another time. That's another story.
Your parents are probably not got all excited about that.
No, not at all. But you know what? You got a man has to do what a man has to
yeah.
do. To fail to support the good and to fail to expose evil is unacceptable.
Yep.
So I just wanted to ask you if you could be so kind as to play another soundbite by Edward McMillan Scott. It's audio clip 6. And to preface it is that Edward McMillan Scott is the four-time European Parliament Vice President. And he did a great speech at the United Nations, or the European Parliament, and it's quite telling. And I was wondering if you can play that one.
Yeah, tell me this. How long is it? Do we know?
It's about 5 minutes, but don't worry, you won't have to.
Oh, 5 minutes, fine.
We're all good. I just want to make sure it doesn't get cut off at the pass by the news.
Okay, great.
All right. Let's see.
It's clip 6, yes.
All right.
Edward McMillan Scott.
Gotcha. All right, here we go.
Thank you.
Edward McMillan Scott.
Thank you very much indeed, Peter. I wrote a report on EU-China relations in 1996-7 for the Foreign Affairs Committee and returned to Beijing in 2006, where I met ex-prisoners of conscience, Falun Gong practitioners, as well as made contact with a number of other dissidents and reformers. All the Chinese with whom I had contact were then imprisoned, and in some cases, like Gao Zhisheng, tortured. Gao Zhisheng is a Christian human rights lawyer, very, very well known in China, who investigated the persecution of Falun Gong and wrote reports about it. And one of the people I met, Cao Dong, who'd been in prison, told me the story about how his best friend had disappeared one evening from the cell in their prison. And the next time he saw him, it was his body in the prison hospital with holes where body parts had been extracted. The belief that I have, and I share with David Kilgour, that organ harvesting is widespread in China, and it is restricted almost exclusively to Falun Gong practitioners. The only prisoners in China who are routinely blood tested and blood pressure tested are Falun Gong practitioners. The organ transplant industry is in the hands of the military. The People's Liberation Army is responsible for the hospitals, the transportation of body parts, and the sale of them. It is therefore a governmental activity and constitutes genocide under Article 2 of the Genocide Convention. Curious is that my final word is, with respect to you, Peter, the Falun Gong are to the Chinese regime of today what the Jews were to the Nazis during the war. And we should all take note of this and look at China with new eyes. The European Parliament comes from a very diverse background, and as Peter has already said, even within this quite straightforward resolution, there are still problems, because the absolute deluge of propaganda from the regime in Beijing, vilifying Falun Gong as some sort of extremist cult. Now, I've met, as I said, hundreds of members of Falun Gong. It is not a sect, it is not a cult, there is no money involved, there is no brainwashing. All the normal characteristics of a cult simply don't exist. These are people who practice their spiritual exercises on their own, and yet, as I said, because between 70 and 100 million people in 1999 were practicing Falun Gong, this was seen by Jiang Zemin, then the leader of the Communist Party, as a threat to his own position. It wasn't, of course, but he saw the opportunity of creating an enemy within. Just as during the war, the Nazis singled out the Jews as a special characteristic and did what they did to the Jews. The same is happening today to Falun Gong in China. That is why it is genocide. That's why I say it's so serious. As to whether we can convey this to all the members of the European Parliament, it's quite difficult. It is quite difficult, but we're trying. And that's what this press conference is about. There'll be other activities today and beyond. I will maintain my campaign, especially until the people I had contact with are released from prison. On the question of Manfred Novak and his reports and his attempts to try and get to the truth about the situation in China, he's told me that he believes that more than two-thirds of the prisoners in China in re-education through labor or forced labor camps are Falun Gong practitioners. That is a huge number of people. Now, at the end of the Kilgometer's report, you will see a list of more than 3,000 Falun Gong practitioners who have died under torture. To the regime, those are wasted people, but nevertheless, they have died under torture in the prison camps. I've met hundreds of Falun Gong who have been through this terrible process of escalating torture. I believe that we should, in Europe, now set up something like happened in West Germany during the Cold War at Salzgitter, where an impunity index was maintained of confidential denunciations from East Germany under communist rule against torture and maltreatment. And after reunification, a number of prosecutions followed of those people. And what we need in the world today is an impunity index maintained at an international level, in my view, by the EU in conjunction with the International Criminal Court, so that people in China or other countries where there's repression may make confidential denunciations, and having talked to ex-prisoners, they tell me that the one thing that gave them some hope was that one day the torturers would be brought to account. Now, in the report of David Kilgour and David Matus, those 3,000 Falun Gong practitioners who've died, in those cases, it has been established where they were arrested, where they were imprisoned, who did the torture. That is listed, and that's a fundamental point. And we should never, ever give up on the idea that one day justice will be done. Thank you.
Yeah, no. I think it's quite compelling what he just said.
No kidding. And so give us the number of people per year approximately.
Well, that's a very good question, Aaron, because when I was sitting down with the investigators in London, they were very careful, and they shared with me, Mitch, when you go on these talk shows, when you go and talk to the people, be very careful, because it's such a huge crime. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, Aaron and Bill, this, I'm not sure we really can fathom how serious this is, but this is a new form of evil that is yet to be exposed, and it will leave the world so stirred. They have shared with me that it's about 100,000 transplantations a year.
They've See, and some of the dissidents we've spoken with have said up to 200,000. We're going to come back with our guest, Mitchell Nicholas Gerber. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, We the People Radio.
Thunder Cheap. Dirty. Thunder Cheap.
Dirty deeds and the Thunder Cheap. Dirty deeds and the Thunder Cheap.
Good afternoon, and welcome to the second half of We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff. And our sponsor this hour is Pape Machinery, our local John Deere ag and turf dealer. Pape Machinery handles pretty much anything tractors or turf equipment. Go by and see them. They've got a great inventory right now, full parts and service departments. If you got to have something worked on, take it in there. They'll take care of you. They're located at 3119 Twin View Boulevard in Shasta Lake City, or you can get them on the web at papemachinery.com. They're also a Honda dealer, so if you need a generator, if you're in California, you're going to need a generator.
It's winter, so you can save up, so then when they shut the power off, you'll have a
normally
generator.
You need a generator in the wintertime, but here you need it in the summertime. So go by and see them. They got a big inventory. They can fix you up with pretty much any size you're looking for. And that's Pape Machinery. Yeah, go by and see them.
Do I get points for not interrupting?
He just interrupted. I wasn't officially done.
I was told I could interrupt at the beginning or the end, but not in the middle.
Yeah. Okay, I'll give you that.
Okay. All right. I wasn't sure if you were done. I couldn't tell.
No, I know. My lips are moving. That means I'm not done.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. I wasn't looking over there. Yeah. It's oh, but see, now there's going to be a camera, so they'll know if I was looking over there or not.
Yeah.
I'm being surveilled.
Yes, you are.
I'm not good
you're
at it.
I am not good at that.
I would not be good at that.
I know. I want her to put a camera and spy on our dog when we're not home. She wouldn't have any part of it.
Yeah. No, thank you.
Yeah. Dogs have rights, too, I guess.
No cameras in the house.
Yeah, no cameras.
Who knows what they're spying on.
Now, we are having some technical difficulties, which is no surprise. It seems like every time we do a story on China, there's some problem, and I find it hard to believe that it's a coinkydink.
It's just a coincidence. We've been doing this show for, 10 years, and literally without fail. Every single time we do a program that involves discussion of the Chinese Communist Party and all that kind of stuff, we have all these malfunctions.
We have malfunctions.
Guests get cut off. The computers all screw up. I'll probably be getting notifications from our web provider that, our emails are all hacked. That's what happened last time. So, anyway, we're sorry if you're having difficulty hearing and going in and out.
It's our fault.
Poor Susan, they're starting the computers and restarting the computers, and she...
Both.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they both went down a minute ago.
Mm-hmm. Susan, they're doing the one-armed paper hanger thing.
Yeah. I didn't know her eyes got that big. That was interesting.
Yeah, she's like, keep talking.
She went Adam Schiff on herself there.
when she gets the pencil back, we're going to have to put a stop to it.
Oh, yeah, that's where we're going to have to give her a break.
We're going to call somebody. Oh, my gosh. Okay, so obviously we're airing this while the impeachment trial is in high gear. Not that we're going to discuss it, but this is the 26th of January, 2020, just in case we air this again. Because, unfortunately, I don't think this topic is going away anytime soon, although our guest, Mitchell Nicholas Gerber, is doing his level best to make it stop. And honestly, I think the only way to make it stop, Mitchell, is telling everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, like so many bad things that go on out there, once everyone knows, makes it a whole lot more difficult to do this. I mean, right now, everybody's being sold a bill of goods that China's just like America, only slightly different.
Yeah, just a little bit different. And after listening to that last clip, it brought up the question in my head, why is this so difficult to get the word out? I mean, you would think people would be completely outraged and want to jump on the bandwagon and get this stopped, but apparently it's been going along, quite well for a long time, and nobody's doing anything about it. And I guess I don't understand that. Why is it so hard to get the word out and get action on this?
Wow. I wish that I could answer that question as simple as just because it feels right to do. It's the right thing to do.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, why Aaron, why Bill, why Sue, why everybody are you allowing me to come on your show? Because you feel there's a sense of duty, there's a sense of goodness that stems, I believe, in every person's heart. And that's why, as good people, we should never be silent when there are other people, regardless of whether it's part of our families, our communities, our nationality, our own country. We've got to stand up and do something. So you are the heroes, you are the people that I take my hat off to, because when the world comes to realize what is going on against the Falun Gong in such a horrendous scale of murder and slaughter and disgusting forced organ harvesting brutality, everyone's going to be like, oh my God, why didn't we do anything? And here we got, and Aaron Bull, you're going to be sitting back and saying, patting yourselves on the shoulder, saying, yeah, we told you so. The bottom line is, Bill, I think that it doesn't impact them until it impacts them, until it's your family on the line,
yeah,
until your guns are taken away, until your family is mandated to have forced vaccinations or be sent to labor camps or death camps. It doesn't ever impact people until it really impacts them on their doorstep. And I think particularly the youth. I remember when I was doing protests and peaceful assemblies and even human rights booths at Georgia State University and other places where I was attending school. And people were just walking by, looking and walking by, and looking and walking by. Not many people were actually out of 100 people who walked by, maybe 5-6 would come by, get a flyer, and walk off. And I think until it truly happens to those people, they'll never understand it, and I'll never want to understand it, because it is extremely hard to believe, and it is extremely hard in an instant gratification world, in a narcissistic, apathetic world, to do something about it and even have any time for it, especially because Spirit is so heavy. But like I said, thank God for your listeners. Thank God for you for allowing me to come on and share about this.
Well, now, also, we've had a lot of people tell us that the CCP is very successful at infiltrating organizations. If you belong to any kind of a group that says anything bad about the CCP, you're going to get infiltrated, and the Falun Gong is no exception to that. That they are heavily infiltrated as well. What do you say about that?
Oh, absolutely. Actually, when I was sitting down with the Federal Bureau of Investigation, I was talking to a Taiwanese FBI. They came in, if you've ever seen the movie Men in Black, they came in their black suits, they sat me down. Mm-hmm. We had lunch together, an American FBI agent and a Taiwanese American FBI agent, and they were sharing with me that they know full about what's going on with Falun Gong, and China has heavily brought in their spies into the universities with the Chinese associations, the Confucius Institutes that are popping up all over the world. These are propaganda machines. And they were sharing to me it's very hard because of the economic interests. I mean, the Boeing contracts of $100 billion are negotiated solely because or solely on the fact that if you're going to expose my human rights abuses, if you're going to say anything about Falun Gong, we're going to cancel your contracts, because this is so huge and multi-billion dollars of profit has been made off each year for the last 20 years of the Falun Gong organ harvesting and persecution. And so the infiltration, that's the word, the infiltration of the communist regime and their spy networks and into the embassies, into the United States, into the United Nations. I mean, Dr. Wang Jiefu, who was the Minister of Health of the communist regime and a liver transplantation surgeon who actually oversaw forced organ harvesting of Falun Gong and actually did Falun Gong organ harvesting transplants before he was used by the communist regime to infiltrate the World Health Organization. This was told to me by David Kilgore and David Mattis, Ethan Gutman, that when they went to the United Nations and the World Health Organization, they were met with very fierce resistance. And even though they had irrefutable evidence beyond a reasonable doubt, because of Wang Jiefu, because of the communist regime sitting on top of the United Nations, vetoing American power, and not allowing the evidence to be confirmed or even accepted, the World Health Organization has remained silent. The United Nations, the Vatican, is strategically positioned with the communist regime in forced organ harvesting as well. It's very, very deep, and I can't get into too much of that detail. Wendy Rogers, who is a clinical psychologist and professor, went to the bishop, the high-ranking bishop who was inviting the communist regime in a transplantation seminar. The Transplantation Society has been bribed by gifts and showered with economic prosperity, and so it's all a matter of see no evil, hear no evil, and speak no evil. But nowadays, those who are involved and those who are criminally, even from media associates and agencies who are demonizing the Epoch Times, demonizing Falun Gong, siding with the communist regime, sleeping with the communist regime and the Red Dragon, are going to be brought to justice, because you cannot stand on the wrong side of destiny when this is actually going on. And the evidence is coming out each and every day to prove that this is going on.
Yeah, you can't kill that many people and keep it quiet forever. I mean, that just defies logic. I'm curious to know if do people actually think that it's not happening? Is that what they say? That this is not really happening? Is that actually one of the options?
Yes, I wish you could have video to share about Matthew Robinson. Matthew Robinson is an award-winning journalist, and he worked for the Epoch Times. I think he's an independent journalist.
If you send it to us, we would be happy to post it and actually link it to the page for today.
I think I have. It's called the Roundtable Discussion or Roundtable Coalition. You can look it on YouTube. But I'll send it to you again. It's the actual video is a four-part series at endtransplantabuse.org.
Oh, okay. I may already have that on there. I need to, after I get everything that I think that I have, how's that? I'll add it all to the page. I'll send you the link, and you can look through it and make sure that we have everything, because I do know that a lot of the people that follow the program utilize the information that we put on the web, because it's a shortcut for their research, and they don't have to just take our word for it. They can actually follow the trail themselves. We have to take another really swift break here, and then we're going to come right back. It seems like the more we get into this, the faster the breaks are coming. I don't know what's up with that. Can the Chinese control time? I don't think they can do that yet, but I think they are. I'm going to blame that on them, too. You are listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. Use the music to bring a little levity into the program, but I'll tell you what, every song takes a dark turn with this particular topic. I was looking at the list, end of the line, I'm like, well, I guess that'll work. All right, Mitchell, where would you like to take us now?
I would love if you can play the clip 3 of Miss World. Now, Miss World, Anastasia Lin, she was Miss World Canada 2015 and 2016, and she was at the European Union giving an extraordinary account of testimonial about the Falun Gong forced organ harvesting. And she was banned from China in competing for the 2017, I believe, Miss World, and she went around and used her title, her former title, to expose this, and she's a Falun Gong practitioner as well. Good for her, absolutely. So I would love for you to play that and have your listeners listen to that.
All right, here we go.
For today, many of you probably heard about the horrific organ transplant abuse in China, including reports that Falun Gong practitioners and other prisoners of conscience are killed to supply the lucrative trade in human body parts. I first learned about these allegations nearly a decade ago when David Matus and David Kilgore and also the Miss World Canada 2003, Nazanin F. Xinjiang, were speaking about it in Vancouver. But it took me a long time to nearly confront the gravity of this crime, to consider deeply what it means that tens of thousands or perhaps hundreds of thousands of innocent people are being killed for their organs. The first time I was made to grapple seriously with this issue was when I starred in a film called The Bleeding Edge, which is based on true events. In it, I played a Falun Gong practitioner in prison for her beliefs, who was tied to an operation table as her vital organs are removed to be sold for a profit. Acting this scene required me to imagine what this process would be like from the standpoint of a victim. And I had to imagine the sheer terror of knowing that death was imminent. It was a feeling of utterly helplessness, of being at the mercy of a cold-blooded murderer who would show me none. On the street, if someone assaults you and steals your purse, you can scream for help. Tied to a hospital bed in a surgical room of a labor camp, no one can hear you scream. In China, it is the state itself that is involved in organ stealing. As I consider this crime while preparing for my film's performance, I felt engulfed by the profound vulnerability and the injustice of it all. So it was a turning point for me, which made me realize that I feel that it is my duty to do all in my power to generate awareness about this issue. And I hope that you will feel the same after today's hearing. One of the factors that made it difficult to really grasp the magnitude of these crimes is that the victims, Falun Gong practitioners, are still not very well understood. Despite being among the most severely persecuted group in China, perhaps it is harder to really sympathize with them, with these people whose beliefs are rather foreign. So today I would like to shed some light on what Falun Gong really is and why they're being persecuted by the Communist Party. Falun Gong is many things, a set of meditation exercises, a moral code, and a way of life. If you have seen people practicing it in the park or in front of European Union today, you may have noticed that the exercise and meditation forms are very similar to Tai Chi and yoga. Falun Gong was and it still is a social phenomenon. Because Falun Gong has no hierarchy or organizational structure, doesn't involve money, and doesn't really keep membership, no one knows exactly how many practitioners they were in China. But in 1998, the State Sport Administration estimated that there were 70 million to 100 million practitioners in China, more than the membership of Communist Party. Now, this is a major reason why Falun Gong was targeted by the Communist Party, and such a huge independent group was unprecedented in a communist community, a Communist Party regime history. And this explains how organ harvesting could come about. With potentially millions of Falun Gong practitioners incarcerated in China's vast network of prison camps, they become worth more death than alive. Their organs were worth money. They are blood typed, and when a blood match is made, they can simply be led away and killed, or simply put under anesthesia to have their organ removed while they are still alive. The mass killing that we're talking about today is not an abstract concept. The victims are real people, and they're innocent Chinese citizens. I know that prisoners of conscience sometimes give people the impression that these people are prisoners, but we are talking about innocent Chinese people. What's more is that they're extraordinarily brave and noble people who wanted nothing more than to seek truth and goodness and practice their beliefs. And because they're not willing to relinquish their values, their principles, they've been killed so their government can benefit from their organs. I hope that after today's testimony that you will do all in your power to also bring attention to this issue. Thank you very much.
Wow.
That was Anastasia Ling. Yeah. Wonderful woman.
She brings up a really excellent point, though. I mean, if it's a well-known fact, I'm sure everyone in China knows that if you are a Falun Gong practitioner, that you're likely to get, you know, sucked out of your shoes and find yourself in a dark, you know, a dark gulag somewhere.
Always be looking over your shoulder.
But and yet it's growing.
Absolutely. I mean, if anyone has tried or is interested in practicing martial arts or yoga or Tai Chi or health and wellness, I mean, there has been a huge upsurge in the new age ways of doing things. Falun Gong is such a beautiful free practice. It's simple, easy to learn, but quite profound. My mother just had gallbladder surgery, and she's never been into yoga, Tai Chi. She never was really interested. But sometimes when you go through life and you become ill or there are ailments in the body, people will try anything to become healthy. So she was battling trying to get over this this aching pain, and she would be crying to me. I'm like, Mom, don't worry, let me teach you the exercises. And at first she was a little bit hesitant, and I said, don't worry, there's nothing to be scared, just do it with me. And we started to practice, and everybody, I can be attested, she's gone to play with her grandchildren, but she recovered within three weeks of practicing with me. Every morning, these five very simple and profound exercises that the Chinese government did research on in terms of the psychological and physiological benefits, and saw that when you practice the actual Falun Gong exercises, no other practice in China was that powerful at the time and now in the world in terms of medical, in terms of spiritual and holistic well-being. And they saw how the practice and the well-being of the mind, when you are more truthful in business, when you are more compassionate to your lover and your husband or your wife and your children, when you're more, when you can endure setbacks in a calm and sincere way, your mind becomes more clear, more focused, more calm, and then your body follows through the exercises. And that's why you saw from 1992, when Mr. Li Hongzhi, the founder of Falun Gong, had only about 200 people practicing, skyrocketed, mushroomed to about 100 million people. And this man is now, he's a five-time Nobel Peace Prize nominee and was nominated for the European Parliament Award for Freedom of Thought. And he's also the recipient of the Freedom House's International Religious Freedom Award. And if I may say, Falun Gong is not a religion. Whether you're Christian, Jewish, Buddhist, Catholic, you can practice. It doesn't interfere. It's just a great practice of mind and body. And because the organs become incredibly healthy because of the blood flow that is circulating much freer and much more healthier once the energy channels are unblocked and the congestion is removed, you have like this beautiful stream of blood through the organs, and that's why they targeted the organs, because once you practice, and I was seeing these kind of revolutionary and extraordinary results in terms of health, especially with the organs, the communist regime targeted the Falun Gong for eradication, and this has now commenced.
It's kind of a bad, perfect storm.
I'm kind of curious. Well, we got to take a quick break, but when we come back, maybe you can tell us the difference between that and Tai Chi. We see a lot of Tai Chi out there as well, and I don't understand the difference, but
well,
we'll be back after.
Yeah, and I tried yoga, but they asked me not to come back because I kept laughing.
Yeah, you're bad.
Okay, my mom and I both got kicked out. Because every time we were, you know, you got to do these upside down things and look at everybody through your legs. And I don't know, it just kind of reminded me of playing Twister as a kid, and it seemed funny. And then she looked at me and I looked at her, and then we burst out laughing. And Lee's like, you're not taking this very seriously. Yeah, so maybe I'd have better luck with something different.
Probably not.
But I know that
in your case, no.
I know my yoga history is flawed. Well, there you go. That's my true confession. We will be right back. You are listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
That was just a dream. That was just a dream. That's me in the corner. That's me in the spotlight. Losing my religion. Trying to keep up with you. And I don't know if I can do it.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Reading.
Tune into North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill, featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
For over 45 years, Clyde's Home Entertainment is the place people turn to for locally owned expert advice on electronics that turn your home into a theater. Clyde's goes the extra mile for their customers. They have a huge selection of audio and video accessories and equipment. Whether it's the latest 4K television or a hard-to-find accessory, Clyde's is the place for all your home electronic needs. Clyde's is a full-service dealer for Samsung, Klipsch, Yamaha, LG, and more. They offer full-service Dish Network. Be sure to ask about the current monthly specials. The original, and still the best, Clyde's Enterprises, 1250 Hartnell and Reading. They have it all. 221-4144. That's 221-4144. Clyde's.
So what is the difference between Falun Gong and Tai Chi?
It's very little difference, Bill. Very, very little difference. But what happened with Falun Gong is that there's much more of a internal improvement of the mind and the body and the spirit. Basically, with Tai Chi, it's more just you do the exercises. You don't have to wonder or basically focus on how you conduct yourself or your behavior in society, whether in business, whether in relationships. With Falun Gong, to really get the health that you deserve in terms of the miraculous health to improve and overcome any ailments, you want to improve and cultivate your moral character. So there's a moral character emphasis on being more truthful, compassion, tolerance, and then the exercises, when practicing, you will miraculously heal. And but Tai Chi is more just a healing and fitness yoga. You go, you do some yoga poses, and you can just conduct yourself however you feel.
With following on, you can
conduct yourself however you feel as well, but there is a moral requirement, morality, where borders the religious sense, but not quite, because there's no dogma, there's no formalities. The books are very, very good. It's very Chinese, ancient Chinese scientific thought, but it's just based on a moral character.
Well, that kind of answers the question that I had, which is, why are they under the microscope? I guess two things. There are a lot of them, and
they're much more healthy.
Well, the other thing, though, is to, I mean, if your government feels good about spying on you every minute of every day and no due process, you haven't committed a crime, you can just go kill people at will, they certainly don't want their country being taken over by a practice that encourages, you know, morality.
Right.
Exactly. And I was going to share with you that the universal values of truthfulness, compassion, and tolerance are under attack, and that affects
all. Yeah, that kind of doesn't fit, actually.
Yes, and at the center of Falun Gong's belief system is the understanding that the universe's nature is fundamentally good, epitomized by the values of truthfulness and compassion and tolerance. So by assimilating these values in one's thoughts and actions, when you practice the Falun Gong exercises, you become really healthy. So the ultimate aim of the Chinese Communist Party and the persecution of Falun Gong is not simply just to eradicate some spiritual group or eliminate a political threat. Its aim is to destroy the underlying virtues that Falun Gong practitioners, Christians, Uyghur Muslims, Buddhists aspire to. So for this reason, much of the torture suffered by Falun Gong practitioners is focused on forcing them to renounce their beliefs and its core beliefs, which is the process of transformation. So the story of Falun Gong is therefore, as its essence, an epoch battle between the goodness in humankind, what many in the East call one's Buddha nature, including Tai Chi, and a tyranny bent on eradicating it. So that's pretty much the core reason why they want to eradicate the Falun Gong, bankrupt them financially, destroy their reputations, and wipe them out in 3 months. And what I wanted to share with you, Bill and Aaron, and everybody who's listening, the extent of the persecution and this campaign reached a final solution Nazi proportion, because 1 month before the persecution, a complete crackdown and ban of Falun Gong in China, which is Falun Gong is still outlawed in China, it's illegal to practice. The persecution just started on July 21st, 1999. 1 month before that, in June, there was a Gestapo type agency, a Nazi SS type of agency called the 610 Office, created on June 10th, 1999, by Jiang Zemin and the highest ranking Politburo members of the Communist Party, that still stands and operates on top of the communist style system. In America, we have the government system, but in China and under communist Vietnam and communist China, you have the party system, which is the reign of terror, just like the Nazis, controlling the government system and the social, economic, and political arms of the nation. So the 610 Office, created by the Jiang Zemin regime, was used and purposely created to eradicate, operation for one purpose and one purpose only for the last 20 years and still continuing, to eradicate Falun Gong from the shores of China. And they've mobilized the secret police, the military, the hospitals, all the businesses, trillions and trillions of dollars of foreign direct investment into China from the consumer markets in America and other places around the world to eradicate Falun Gong. And Jiang Zemin wanted to do it, the former president of China. He wanted to eradicate them in 3 months, but this has been going on for 20 years. So you can see the tenacity of the Falun Gong and the conviction and the perseverance of the spiritual movement. Without any guns, without any harm, there's been never any cases of Falun Gong practitioners going rogue, killing, harming, any terrorist activities, blowing up buildings, etc. Very peaceful, and just hauled off to concentration camps and labor camps and death camps and hospitals to kill them for their organs.
Yeah, that's like stepping on puppies. I mean, they have a long way to go. Do you think this is going to, strengthen the resolve of the people, or do you think it's just going to force it underground to where it'll look like they've exterminated the movement?
Well, that's a great question. I wanted to share, I don't know if we have much time left, but David Mattis did I shared you the clip. I think it's clip 4, I believe.
Okay.
He was talking about that as well. And yes, this is forced it underground, but the communist regime is collapsing. There is incredibly internal struggle between President Xi and the party is in ruins. It's a matter of deep collapse. And now with this virus that's really terrorizing China. I mean, 20 million people under quarantine, and this is insane. It's really, really insane. But clip 4, I believe, with David Mattis.
Okay. How about this? Can we take our break just a teensy bit early and then come back with the clip so we don't have to stop it? Look at that, all this flexibility
of
that we have.
Of course we can.
We're CCP just like we're practicing yoga, but it's in our mind.
Yeah, CCP doesn't control us.
And I don't get in trouble for laughing. All righty. So you're listening to We the People. You can find everything about the program, and I hope you will share it at wethepeopleradio.us. Be right back.
Who's to say I can't do everything? Well, I can try. And as I roll along, I begin to find things aren't always just what they seem. I wanna turn the whole thing upside down. I'll find the things they say just can't be found. I'll share this love I find with everyone.
We're in the process of updating our equipment here at KCNR. Now, if you hear a little extra static or perhaps a little silence between commercials, we're aware and appreciate your patience as we address these issues.
Tune into North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill, featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more. Promote your locally owned business on KCNR, Redding's only locally owned radio station. Brand your business through one of our advertising packages or by sponsoring a Colt 45's live broadcasted game. Call KCNR at 605-4565.
Get our 20-year, 200,000-mile powertrain warranty at no cost with every new 2020 Kia model exclusively at Redding Kia. 20-year, 200,000-mile limited powertrain warranty. For details, see dealer or go to reddingkia.com.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction with your personal protection tip of the day. Use technology to reinforce your home and make it undesirable for criminals. The use of alarms, cameras, lights, and reinforced door and window locks may go a long way towards helping a would-be thief make a better decision. Another important part of your personal protection plan may be the use of a firearm. If that's your choice, give NFI a call at 999-1822 or find and register for one of our popular CCW or other firearm safety courses online at usgunpro.com. Remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Redding Electric Utility cares about the whole community, and we offer an income-qualified residential energy discount program that can save you up to $400 a year on your energy bill. And once per year, CARES bill credit up to $300. To find out if your income qualifies you for a residential discount program and CARES program, call 339-7200. That number again is 339-7200.
Pick it up.
Do to have the kind of strength it takes to stand before a giant with just a sling and a stone, surrounded by the sound of a thousand warriors shaking in their armor, wishing they'd have had the strength to stand. But the giant's calling out my name and he laughs at me, reminding me of all the times I tried before and failed. The giant keeps on telling me time and time again, boy, you'll never win. You'll never win. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says do not be afraid.
There you go, Mitchell. That can be your theme song.
Thank you. God bless. Thank you, Aaron.
It was long, but it was too good not to play.
Okay, no, it put tears in my eyes, actually. Thank you.
It fits. So here is David Mattis.
Yes. He is a main investigator.
Okay.
In the fight. And, yeah, with David Mattis is a 35 international human rights lawyer out of Winnipeg. And together with David Kilgore, who is the former Secretary of State to the Asian Affairs of the Canadian Parliament and a crown prosecutor, the Kilgore and Mattis report came out in 2006, which I implore your listeners to read. that is the icing on it. That's the creme de la creme of the evidence.
Okay.
But here he is.
You wrote a report in July 2006, a second version, January 2007, a third version in book form under the title Bloody Harvest, November 2009, a book, a collection of essays that came out in August 2012. There's a lot of material. The two reports are posted on the internet, and the books are available through. It can be purchased, and obviously, in the few minutes, it's impossible to sort of give you the wealth of detail that supports the conclusions. But let me just say a few things about that. The one is the telephone calls. We had callers calling into China, investigators, pretending to be relatives of patients needing transplants, and asking the hospitals if they had organs of Falun Gong practitioners for sale. And we got admissions throughout out China. Yes, we do. The reason the callers indicated they were calling was that Falun Gong is a set of exercises. The practitioners are healthy. Their organs are going to be healthy. And the callers were pretending to be relatives of patients that needed these organs. So we got admissions throughout throughout China, taped, transcribed, translated, saying, yes, Falun Gong organs for sale. Now, the Chinese government did a documentary responding to our report, and in that report they interviewed a couple of people that we called. One of them was Liu Guoping. So they present Liu Guoping a transcript of the call, and he says, yes, I got the call, and yes, I said most of these things, but the stuff here and there about Falun Gong, I didn't say, accusing us basically of fiddling with the transcript. But there's no acknowledgement that we have him on tape and no explanation of how we possibly could have interwoven seamlessly what he, in his own voice, what he denies having said and what he admits having said. Yet for the Chinese people, all they would see is this propaganda documentary, and certainly not our report or our website, which is blocked in China. So that's one piece of evidence. A second piece of evidence is blood testing. We found that Falun Gong practitioners who got out of prison and out of China told us systematically they were blood tested and organ examined, and it wasn't for their health because they were being tortured. But it is necessary for organ transplants because you need blood type compatibility and ideally tissue type compatibility as well. The people who got out of prison who were not Falun Gong practitioners told us the same thing, that the people they saw in prison who were Falun Gong practitioners were going through these tests and they were not. And we found this. We found practitioners around the world telling us this, and it wasn't the matter that was of immediate concern or interest to them because they weren't harmed by the blood testing. In fact, what they wanted to talk about was their torture, and it took a while to sort of find out from each of them by talking to them that this was systematically happening. And of course, these people didn't know each other, hadn't talked to each other, and yet we found this pretty regularly everywhere. And so that's a second factor. A third factor is the numbers. China, in terms of transplant volumes, is number one in the world after the United States. Waiting times are very short, whereas everywhere else they're very long. And China, until this year, didn't have a donation system. Where are the organs coming from? Well, the Chinese government says prisoners sentenced to death. Well, what's the death penalty numbers? They won't tell you. We do know that they've been going down over time because they've changed the procedures to centralize death penalty from regional courts to Supreme Court. They've cut down the number of death penalty offenses, but transplant volumes have remained constant. There's no national organ donation system. There's a huge amount of hepatitis in the prison system, which makes a lot of the organs unusable. And we estimate that about in order to supply 10,000 organs a year, there'd have to be death penalty volumes of about 50,000 a year. And the highest estimates of death penalty volumes in China are about a tenth of that. There is no explanation other than one we've come up with, the Falun Gong prisoners. The Falun Gong prisoners, they represent a huge population within the Chinese system in the hundreds of thousands. They don't self-identify to protect their immediate family, which means that the relatives don't know where they are, and the jailers don't know who they are, so they're extremely vulnerable. They are subject to extreme vilification through hate propaganda, which means that they're depersonalized and dehumanized and marginalized. So we have this very vulnerable population. The last factor I'll mention here, although there's much more one could get into, but it's relevant to the jurisdiction of the Scottish Parliament, is that as we look around the world and in China about the precautions that should be put in place to prevent this abuse from happening, they're not there, neither in China nor elsewhere. We don't have in China, obviously, one can see that if one knows the system in China, we don't have the rule of law. When we started, the law itself didn't require consent from prisoners for sourcing from organs. They did change that, but there's no way of enforcing that. There's no traceability, there's no records, there's no access to records, so there's no way of determining whether there's consent, even if they assert there's consent. So we don't have the system in place in China to prevent it, and we don't have the system in place abroad to prevent transplant tourists from going into China and participating in organ transplant abuse. There are some legislative proposals in some countries to deal with it. Israel enacted a law to that effect, and it's something the Scottish Parliament could do. Health is a devolved domain; it's not a reserved domain. The Scottish Parliament, in its devolved domain, can enact extraterritorial legislation, and it's done so for female genital mutilation. So it already has legislation about organ transplant abuse called the Human Tissue Scotland Act, which it could simply amend to encompass foreign transplant abuse. And it would send a message, it would be an example, it would help to establish a network to prevent this sort of abuse. So those are my very brief remarks. Thank you very much.
Well, that was kind of a handy overview there.
Absolutely. The reason why, Erin and Bull, I wanted to share with you and your listeners these audios is because there's no room for disbelief or, come on, this is not happening. We've covered all boundaries, all bases today, so that's why I really wanted to nail in all these witnesses. And there's so much more evidence. I mean, David Kilgore mentioned this 52 pieces of evidence, and that was in 2014. We're in 2020 right now, so it's beyond a reasonable doubt, and there's no way that anybody can deny that this is going on against the Falun Gong.
Well, the Chinese dissidents that we've had on in the past have said, like I remember one of them said they had 26 people on the organ donation list, and they did upward of 200,000 transplants that year.
They were all walk-ins.
So it's like... you can't even make sense of those numbers.
Exactly, and I can't really divulge how much, how many. I mean, there are numbers out there that are going to shock people, and I do not want to... Because we are dealing with something extremely delicate here, and that's why the investigators have really time and time again warned me. When you go in the shows, do not exaggerate. Even though the numbers are higher than we can imagine, and when the people really come up to realize after 20 years, 100 million Falun Gong practitioners, how many actual people who have been murdered by the regime, namely Falun Gong, it's got to show stir them. But for now, we're going to say 100,000 transplants a year, just to make it viable, feasible, and logical.
Well, people who are living here, who started there, we've asked, do these people just disappear and never come back? And they said, oh, sometimes they come back. They come back with their organs missing. They sew them back together and send them back to... They don't cremate everybody, I guess. They send some of them back to their family. I don't know how you qualify for that, but it's like, oh, here's your relative, and...
Yeah, he's missing a kidney,
by
the way.
And, they're missing parts, so... And again, no crime was committed, no trial was had, no court adjudicated this. They just, are gone and come back and are missing parts, important ones.
Not,
heart,
not having
lungs,
a,
you know.
And not having a system in place, a transplant program in place, pretty much tells you it's a government program.
Yeah, they have a program.
Yeah, they have a program,
it's a special
but
program.
You don't get to know about it.
You know, I live in communist Vietnam. You have no property rights. You watch this. You watch the Vietnamese, and they're very twisted. Thank God we are in America. I'm an American citizen. I received my citizenship about 2 or 3 years ago, and I was the first in my family. I came here, and I can tell you, everybody, when I love this country, and I'm going in 2 days' time back to Vietnam, but cherish your freedom here in this country.
Yep.
Because
amen.
America, oh my goodness.
Just when you think, you know, it's a big mess, you look around at other places.
You're
and
blessed to live here, and people that fly in this country have no idea what goes on.
We will post as much as you send us, and we can update, obviously, after the fact, and we'd be happy to have you on again. We're glad you found us. I got your email, and I thought, hey, this is right up our alley. So our guest this couple hours has been Mitchell Nicholas Gerber. Thank you, Mitchell, for coming
on
with us.
Thank you.
Be careful in Vietnam and elsewhere, and thanks for getting the word out.
God bless. Thank you.